Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're delving into Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday, a poignant exploration of how stillness can serve as a catalyst for clarity, success, and happiness. Through enlightening excerpts from history's philosophical giants and insights into the routines of prominent athletes, leaders, and artists, this book articulates the profound impact of cultivating inner peace. Ryan Holiday, an accomplished author and media strategist, brings us this guide to finding contentment through stillness. Having written several bestsellers and hosted the popular Daily Stoic podcast, Holiday's expertise shines as he bridges ancient wisdom with modern challenges. This book is a must-listen for anyone overwhelmed by the daily rush, those in search of tranquility amidst chaos, individuals yearning for balance and focus, or swift movers aiming to embrace a slower, more thoughtful pace. Join us as we uncover how embracing stillness can transform your life, making space for the pursuit of contentment and a clearer path to achieve your goals. Tune in to unlock the serene power of stillness in your own life. Stillness is the Key. Timeless Stoic and Buddhist Philosophy. Introduction. Find your center in the chaos. Discovering the transformative power of stillness. Imagine a day stripped of the relentless pings of your smartphone, disconnected from the ceaseless barrage of emails, and free from the dizzying rush of your to-do list. What if, in that quiet, you could uncover a wellspring of creativity, resilience, and joy? This is the promise and the power of stillness, a quietly mighty force celebrated by sages and successful leaders alike. Historically, stillness has been revered under various names across cultures. To the Buddhists, it's known as upekkha. For Muslims, aslama. For the Stoics of ancient Greece, apatheia. Each term may vary culturally, but they point to a universal concept, a profound, powerful inner peace. This tranquility isn't just about catching your breath in a busy world. It's about tapping into a clarity and calm that can significantly enhance creativity, decision-making, and overall happiness. The virtues of stillness aren't just philosophical ideals. They are practical tools for improvement. With stillness, you gain the power to dissolve tempers, find joy in the smallest of moments, and navigate life with a clearer perspective. Embracing this practice isn't restricted to the enlightened few or those with an abundance of free time. It's accessible to anyone, anywhere, irrespective of the surrounding chaos. So why is this ancient practice so critical in our modern lives? Tune in, turn off the noise, and let's unlock the secrets and strategies that allow stillness to be not just a momentary escape, but a key to transforming your life. Content note. Please be aware that strong language is featured in Chapter 6 of this series. In this exploration, we will learn how a simple act by a White House gardener played a pivotal role in averting global nuclear catastrophe, why Winston Churchill's habit of laying bricks was not just a pastime, but a vital activity that kept him sharp and effective, what lessons Napoleon's handling of his communication devices can teach us about managing our modern-day notification settings. Part 1. Navigating Noise. Learn from Seneca's quest for stillness. Imagine the bustling streets of ancient Rome, a cacophony of clanging metal, shouting vendors, and the relentless barking of street dogs. Now, picture trying to focus amidst this pandemonium, much like the philosopher Seneca once did. Tucked away in his study, the din of a gym below and the chaos of city life could barely drown out his own racing thoughts. Financial peril, political exile, and disfavor from none other than Emperor Nero himself. This struggle for inner peace amidst outer turmoil is timeless. Today, replace the Roman uproar with the incessant pings of smartphones, the rush of traffic, and ever-present digital notifications. Sounds familiar, right? This perpetual noise seems even harder to escape. Yet, what if the answer lay in that very challenge Seneca and countless others navigated through the ages? Let's delve into what stillness really means. Have you ever lost yourself in a project so deeply that a solution appeared as if magic struck? That stillness. Or perhaps you've delivered a performance that, after months of preparation, flowed effortlessly. That too is stillness. It's in the tranquil dawn, watching the sun paint the sky, reminding us of the beauty of simply being alive. That is the essence of stillness. Rainer Maria Rilke beautifully captures this state, suggesting in stillness, we are full, complete, where all that's trivial fades into silence. This quietude allowed Seneca, despite the adversity, to compose essays that continue to resonate through millennia, proving that tranquility can foster profound intellectual and creative work. Seneca proposed that with internal tranquility, everything aligns: thought, productivity, fulfillment, even amidst external chaos. Though centuries have passed since Seneca's time, the pursuit of stillness is a universal quest. It dons many names and forms. Buddhists call it upekkha, Muslims name it aslama, Christians refer to it as equanimitas, and the Stoics like Seneca knew it as apatheia, a term misunderstood today as apathy, but which actually refers to a state of undisturbed balance. Across different cultures and epochs, the theme recurs, echoing the timeless relevance of finding peace within, even when the world outside is anything but peaceful. In this exploration, let's discover pathways to achieving this coveted stillness ourselves, tapping into an ancient yet urgently pertinent wisdom for our noisy modern lives. Part 2. Stillness amid global tension. Kennedy's calm during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Imagine awakening to a world on the brink of nuclear war. It's October 15, 1962, and President John F. Kennedy is faced with the chilling revelation. Soviet nuclear missile sites are being rapidly constructed in Cuba, a mere stone's throw from the U.S. mainland. The stakes? Potentially catastrophic, with an estimated 70 million lives hanging in the balance from initial strikes alone. In the swirl of high-pressure council flooding from every side, Kennedy's advisors were unanimous. Aggression must be met with even greater aggression. The common consensus leaned towards a direct military strike to dismantle the missile sites swiftly. Yet Kennedy chose a less intuitive path. His response to one of the 20th century's direst moments highlighted an essential strategy: embracing stillness over knee-jerk reactions in the face of crisis. The tense period that followed, famously known as the Cuban Missile Crisis, spanned 13 nerve-wracking days. Kennedy's leadership during this time demonstrates a critical lesson about the power of stillness under pressure. Instead of caving to the overwhelming push for immediate aggressive action, Kennedy detached from the chaos to seek clarity and calm. This may have very well saved the world from descending into a catastrophic nuclear war. How did Kennedy manage to maintain such composure amidst looming disaster? His secret lay in finding moments of stillness. While he couldn't retreat to his preferred setting for contemplation, the open sea, he adapted. The White House pool became a temporary sanctuary for reflection. He also found quietude in the Rose Garden, later crediting the resident gardener's role in preserving global peace, acknowledging the environment she maintained as pivotal in allowing him the space to think critically. Kennedy's approach was measured. He opted for a naval blockade over immediate combat, a move not aimed at a quick fix, but to buy time, for both the U.S. and the Soviet Union, led by Nikita Khrushchev. This deliberate pacing provided crucial breathing space, enabling both leaders to navigate out of a potential doomsday scenario thoughtfully. And indeed, diplomacy prevailed over destruction. Khrushchev's correspondence roughly 2 weeks into the crisis hinted at a mutual recognition of the grave risk of rash actions, paving the way for the eventual dismantling of the missile installations. President Kennedy's response to the Cuban Missile Crisis underscores a profound principle. In times of acute crisis, true leadership might just lie in resisting the pull of quick action, instead drawing on the deep well of stillness to guide thoughtful, deliberate decisions. This incident not only exemplifies how critical situations can be diffused, but also showcases how moments of peace can potentially steer the world away from the brink of disaster. Part 3. Embracing the Moment, Marina Abramović's Silent Connection. In 2010, the halls of New York's Museum of Modern Art transformed into a silent stage for an extraordinary demonstration of stillness. Here, Marina Abramović, renowned performance artist, initiated an endurance masterpiece titled The Artist is Present. Over the course of 79 days, for a staggering 750 hours, Abramović sat immobile and silent while visitors took turns sitting opposite her. Each interaction started similarly. Abramović would lower her gaze, gather her composure, then lift her eyes to meet those of her counterpart. In this silent exchange, no words were needed. Her presence alone communicated volumes. More than 1,500 visitors experienced these one-on-one encounters, and the results were profound. The pure intensity of Abramović's presence elicited raw emotional responses from many visitors, some of whom openly wept during their brief shared moments. Why such a powerful reaction to mere silence and eye contact? It reveals a truth about human nature. So often, we escape the present. Whether we're snapping photos of a sunset rather than experiencing it, or mentally compiling to-do lists during moments of quiet, many of us habitually detach from the now. This disconnection is not inconsequential. Missing the present means missing life itself as it unfolds around us. Abramović's performance vividly demonstrated the magnetic, transformative power of being fully present. It highlighted how rare and impactful genuine attention and connection can be. She didn't allow her mind to wander into the realms of fatigue or boredom. This fierce commitment to the present kept her truly in the moment, resonating deeply with those who sat across from her. The lesson extends beyond artistic exhibitions. Athletes, for instance, are rigorously trained to remain present during performance, because a lapse in attention can mean the difference between victory and defeat. The same principle applies to daily life. Being present enhances performance, enriches experiences, and fundamentally allows us to live more fully. Let this be a reminder to embrace the now. The next time you find your mind drifting to the past's regrets or the future's anxieties, remember Abramović's silent, powerful call to presence. Still your thoughts. Focus on the now and fully engage with the moment and task at hand. It's not just about enhancing productivity or enjoying peace. It's about truly experiencing life as it happens. Part 4. Unlock the power of journaling. Reflect, reset, and recharge. June 12, 1942, marks a profound moment in the diary of Anne Frank as she penned her thoughts for the first time, hoping to find comfort and a confidant in the blank pages of her journal. Within a day, as her family went into hiding, this diary would become more than just a repository of daily events. It would be a lifeline in the darkest times. Anne Frank discovered the transformative power of journaling. It allowed her an outsider's view of her own life, offering new perspectives on daily actions and inner thoughts. She believed that if everyone could end their day by reflecting on their own reactions and behaviors, they would strive to improve the next day. This isn't just a youthful ideal, but a practice seen throughout history in figures from vastly different backgrounds. Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, meticulously recorded his daily reflections, allowing him no escape from the truth, which he found essential for a peaceful night's sleep. The habit of journaling is not confined to philosophers and young diarists during wartime. It spans a spectrum, including the likes of Oscar Wilde, Queen Victoria, tennis icon Martina Navratilova, and baseball star Sean Green. Why such a wide appeal? The act of journaling has repeatedly shown its efficacy in enhancing well-being. Consider this. Studies, including notable research from the University of Arizona, indicate that journaling can significantly aid individuals in processing and overcoming traumatic events, such as a divorce. The act of writing helps to sort through and make sense of the turmoil that often clouds judgment and emotional responses, fostering a healing process and providing a means of moving forward. Journaling serves as a powerful tool not only to navigate the rough waters of life, but also to celebrate the moments of joy and everyday victories. by setting aside time to reflect, whether in moments of crisis or calm, you invite clarity and introspection into your life. So, how should one embark on this path to self-discovery and inner peace? The specifics, whether you jot down thoughts in the early hours of the morning or in the quiet moments on a train ride home, are less important than the act itself. The crucial step is carving out a moment of solitude to unload thoughts, assess emotions, and ponder questions about personal actions and reactions. Engage honestly with the deeper questions that arise. Ask yourself, why did this particular event disturb me? Or what does this impulse say about my values? This isn't just about recording events, it's about understanding and evolving from them. Start journaling today. It could be the most rewarding time you invest in yourself, providing not just relief, but also a path to personal growth and tranquility. Part 5. Embrace the power of quietude. In a world permeated by ceaseless sound, from the incessant beeps of mobile notifications to the daily churn of content through our earphones, silence is a rare commodity. Yet this very absence of noise holds untapped treasures, awaiting those willing to venture into quietude. Consider the routine flight scenario. Passengers, rather than embracing the silence of disconnected travel, often dive into mediocre movie marathons or fill their ears with podcasts. But what if we chose differently? What if we embraced the rare moments of silence to explore the complex landscape of our minds? John Cage, an avant-garde composer fascinated with the concept of silence, deeply understood its potential. Back in 1928, as a high school student, he proposed a National Day of Quiet, initiating a lifelong exploration into the nature of silence. His seminal work, 433, famously plays with the idea of silence by instructing musicians not to play their instruments during the piece. What ensues is not true silence, but a canvas of ambient, unintended sounds, the rustling of the wind, the patter of rain, that create a soundscape of accidental music. This experiment reveals an essential truth. Silence is never truly silent. Instead, it is a rich backdrop where unnoticed sounds come to the fore, enabling us to truly listen. This insight is invaluable, especially for those overwhelmed by the daily din that life offers. Indeed, the benefits of embracing quiet are not merely philosophical. Randall Stuttman, an expert on leadership, observed how top executives recharge by immersing themselves in minimal noise environments. Activities such as long-distance cycling, swimming, or scuba diving offer these leaders not only physical respite, but also a mental clarity that often eludes them in the noise-filled corridors of power. What we perceive as silence enables leaders to unearth innovative solutions and fresh ideas, often during a quiet bike ride or while listening to the water during a dive. Similarly, embracing moments of silence can allow you to notice the subtle yet significant elements of life, like the gentle fall of rain or a solution that suddenly clicks after hours of contemplation. Silence, therefore, is much more than the absence of noise. It's a space of potential, insight, and regeneration. By reducing the auditory distractions in our lives, even temporarily, we prepare the ground for deeper awareness and understanding of ourselves and our surroundings. In embracing silence, we may find not only peace, but also unexpected answers to the complexities that pervade our everyday lives. Part 6. Exploring the Depths of Stillness. Lessons from Tiger Woods. In a stunning display of physical endurance and mental composure, Tiger Woods clinched his third U.S. Open Championship in June 2008, despite competing with a severely injured leg. This victory marked his 14th major win, hailed by many as one of the greatest in golf history. However, the gleam of this triumph soon faded, as Woods faced personal turmoil that thrust his life into a relentless media frenzy. For 21 days, every misstep of Woods' private life was splashed across the front pages, unveiling affairs and secret liaisons that shattered his public persona. The revelations of his tumultuous private affairs led to a decade-long drought in his professional success, highlighting a profound disconnect between his external achievements and inner turmoil. This dichotomy brings to mind the wisdom of Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who spoke of the ocean's surface appearing still while turbulent currents rage beneath. Tiger Woods, known for his unparalleled focus and calm in high-pressure situations, was internally wrestling with overwhelming personal conflicts. The roots of these struggles trace back to his upbringing. Tiger's father, aiming to forge a champion's mindset, subjected him to taunts and racially charged insults during practice, believing that a tough exterior was essential for success in golf. His mother, too, imposed her own pressures, threatening repercussions if he tarnished her reputation. In Tiger's reflection, this harsh conditioning crafted a formidable competitor but left deep emotional scars, driving him towards destructive behaviors that jeopardized his relationships and personal integrity. Upon introspection, Woods realized the grim cost of living a facade, acknowledging that a life steeped in deceit was far from fulfilling. His journey underscores a critical lesson. While external accomplishments can bring transient glory, enduring contentment arises from inner peace and authenticity. This narrative of Tiger Woods serves as a compelling reminder of the importance of nurturing the soul's stillness. In our quest for success, whether in business, sports, or personal endeavors, the true measure of achievement lies not merely in the accolades we gather, but in the tranquility and integrity of our internal worlds. As we strive for excellence, let us not overlook the profound value of inner stillness, a serene anchor that steadies us amid life's tumultuous waves. It is in achieving this deep, soulful stillness that we find not only success but true contentment and joy. Part 7. Understanding Contentment. The lesson of knowing when enough is enough. During the tense days of the Cuban Missile Crisis, John F. Kennedy, despite epitomizing calm and control in his public decisions, fell prey to personal indiscretions that juxtaposed his professional demeanor. At a most critical time, he had a secretive liaison with a young student, showcasing that even the most disciplined of us can succumb to earthly desires. This incident serves as a poignant reminder of our own vulnerabilities to desire. Whether it's longing for the latest gadget, more wealth, or fleeting pleasures, these cravings often distract us from achieving true contentment. It's a common human trait to yearn for more, but awareness of these desires can lead us to question their true value. Greek philosopher Epicurus offered a simple yet effective method to gauge the worth of our desires by asking, "How will I feel afterward if I actually get what I want?" This introspective question encourages us to consider the aftermath rather than merely the immediate gratification. It nudges us to reflect on the potential regret or guilt following the indulgence of base desires, pushing us towards more meaningful aspirations that bring lasting satisfaction. The concept of enough can profoundly influence our pursuit of peace and contentment. Renowned authors Kurt Vonnegut and Joseph Heller once found themselves amidst a lavish party at a billionaire's home. When Vonnegut pointed out that the host might have made more in a day than Heller ever did from his famed novel Catch-22, Heller's response highlighted a profound sense of fulfillment, remarking that unlike the billionaire, he knew when he had enough. This sense of enough wasn't just about monetary contentment, but a deeper, more philosophical acceptance of life's achievements. Heller's perspective on enough teaches us that contentment doesn't stem from incessant accumulation or competition, but from an inner acknowledgement and appreciation of our achievements, regardless of how they stack against others. This realization frees us from the constant tension of comparison and allows us to live more fully in the present. As you encounter your own desires, whether for status, possessions, or accomplishments, remember the calm that comes with recognizing when you have enough. This understanding not only aligns us with our true needs, but also leads to a more peaceful, still existence, untouched by the constant urge for more. Embrace the simplicity of Heller's wisdom and find solace in the sufficiency of what life has already offered. Part 8. Embrace the everyday elegance, finding beauty where you least expect it. In Japan, there's a practice known as Shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing, which highlights the healing powers of nature. It's an echo of what figures like John F. Kennedy experienced in the quietude of the White House Rose Garden during critical moments like the Cuban Missile Crisis. However, not everyone has the luxury of escaping to nature's expanses, especially those in bustling city environments. Yet, the pursuit of beauty doesn't require a backdrop of dense forests or serene gardens. Roman emperor and philosopher Marcus Aurelius, often perceived as a somber Stoic, had an extraordinary ability to find awe in the mundane. He enjoyed the sight of bread as it bakes, appreciating how the crust splits and patterns emerge, an ordinary kitchen scene transforming into a canvas of natural artistry. His reflections extended even to the aspects of life and death, drawing beauty from the idea of a ripe olive gracefully falling from the tree, thankful for the life it was given. This perspective invites us to shift our gaze from the grandiose to the subtleties of our everyday environments. Whether it's the way light shadows on an urban sidewalk, the intricate dance of leaves in a breeze, or the simple act of witnessing daily life unfold, beauty surrounds us consistently and quietly. Drawing from the insights of Marcus Aurelius and the calmness Kennedy sought through nature, we too can cultivate a practice of noticing the beauty around us, no matter our surroundings. This practice doesn't just enrich our appreciation of the world. It anchors us in the moment, fostering a sense of stillness and tranquility, vital for navigating the often overwhelming rush of life. The beauty in our everyday locales might not always be apparent, but by actively engaging with our environment, we unlock a reservoir of peace and beauty that is perpetually available, waiting to be recognized and revered. Let this approach guide you in discovering the understated elegance life offers at every turn, nurturing a serene spirit through the simple act of observation and appreciation. Part 9. Activity as a Gateway to Stillness. Learning from Churchill's Pursuits. Winston Churchill is often remembered as a paragon of leadership and ceaseless energy, navigating through the tumult of World War II and delivering powerful speeches that bolstered the morale of a battered nation. Beyond his political and literary achievements, however, Churchill also reveals a critical lesson about finding tranquility in action. At first glance, Churchill's life of constant activity, which included writing over 40 books and giving thousands of speeches, might seem incompatible with stillness. Yet, he discovered a unique method to cultivate peace within a bustling life, engaging in physical activities that foster mental rest. Churchill found his unusual but profound form of meditation in bricklaying. On his estate at Chartwell, he learned the craft from his employees, and it quickly evolved into more than just a hobby. For Churchill, the repetitive, tactile nature of smearing mortar and aligning bricks became a form of moving meditation, a physical activity that offered respite from his otherwise cerebral and stress-laden duties. In a 1927 correspondence with then-Prime Minister Stanley Baldwin, Churchill shared how he balanced his demanding roles with personal rejuvenation. He proudly recounted a productive month where, alongside his ministerial duties, he managed to lay 200 bricks each day and pen 2,000 words. This routine wasn't merely a diversion from his responsibilities. It was an essential component of his mental health strategy, particularly against the backdrop of his frequent battles with depression. Churchill's daughter, Mary, noted that her father's pursuits in bricklaying and painting were vital in mitigating his depressive episodes. These activities allowed him an escape, an opportunity to switch off his prolific mind and engage the body, giving him a much-needed break. This interplay of physical exertion and mental rest is not peculiar to Churchill alone. Historical figures often had hobbies that provided similar relief. William Gladstone, another prominent British Prime Minister, found solace in chopping down trees, while avant-garde composer John Cage indulged in mushroom hunting. Each of these activities provided more than just physical benefits. They were pivotal in maintaining mental clarity and emotional stability. It's a compelling argument for the modern individual overwhelmed by the demands of daily life to find a hobby that offers a similar therapeutic balance. What physical activity could become your pathway to mental stillness? Whether it is through the rhythmic chopping of wood, the precise layering of bricks, or any other form of physical engagement, the key is to find an activity that allows you to step away mentally from everyday stresses, just as Churchill did. This active pursuit of stillness can be your secret to maintaining both productivity and peace in a hectic world. Part 10: Embracing Rest as a Pathway to Productivity. Winston Churchill, a historical giant praised for his dynamic leadership and relentless work ethic, also understood a fundamental truth about productivity that many overlook. It is not just about continuous labor, but also about rest. One of Churchill's most impactful discoveries wasn't made on the battlefield or in the corridors of power, but during a visit to Cuba, the revitalizing power of the siesta. The concept of resting, particularly in the form of a siesta, is often pushed aside in today's hustle culture, where phrases like, "I'll sleep when I'm dead," are a badge of honor among the highly driven professionals in banking, law, and startups. However, Churchill's appreciation for the siesta underscores a crucial aspect of resilience and effectiveness, a well-rested mind and body. Research supports Churchill's practice. Psychologist Anders Ericsson's study of master violinists found that peak performers not only sleep about 8.5 hours nightly, but also indulge in daily napping, more so than their less accomplished peers. This pattern highlights a broader principle. Rest is not merely physical restoration. It's a strategic pause that enhances mental and emotional clarity. Beyond the physiological benefits, recognizing the need for rest is a profound acknowledgement of one's limits. It's an embrace of moderation as a virtue, essential for achieving a sustainable pace in life and work. In stark contrast, Prince Albert, husband of Queen Victoria, offers a cautionary tale from the 19th century. He took on his royal duties with such fervor, especially while organizing the monumental 1851 Great Exhibition, that he neglected his health to the point of demise. Despite the event's success, the toll on his health was irreversible, illustrating the destructive potential of unchecked ambition. The modern work environment often blurs the boundary between dedication and overwork, making it crucial to consciously decide to unplug, rest, and rejuvenate. Embracing stillness and moderation isn't about diminishing ambition, but about fostering a longevity in our capacity to achieve and thrive. As you navigate the demands of your professional and personal life, consider how you might better incorporate rest into your routine. Protect your sleep like Churchill protected his siesta time. Acknowledge that stepping back to recharge isn't a retreat from responsibilities, but a wise strategy to enhance overall well-being and effectiveness. Slow down, quiet down, and allow yourself the stillness that comes with rest. Recognize it as the powerful tool it is, not just for preserving health, but for ensuring you continue to perform at your best over the long haul. Embrace rest. Your productivity and peace of mind will thank you. Final summary. The common thread linking the world's most influential figures isn't just their achievements or their resilience, it's their mastery of stillness amidst chaos. This power of stillness, essential yet often overlooked, is the cornerstone for a profound, balanced life. Here's a recapitulation of what stillness entails and how you can incorporate it into your life. 1. Be present. In a world brimming with distractions, the act of being present is revolutionary. Stillness begins with fully engaging in the moment, understanding that presence is more than physical. It's a mental commitment to being in the now. 2. Cultivate silence. Silence isn't merely the absence of noise. It's a deliberate creation of space for your thoughts. In that silent space, you can discover clarity and creativity that noise masks. 3. Reflect deeply. Journaling offers a powerful tool for reflection. It's not just about documenting daily events, but engaging with your thoughts and emotions deeply, providing insight into your own behaviors and decisions. 4. Find beauty in life. Like taking a forest bath or observing the simple beauty of baking bread, appreciating life's aesthetics can be incredibly grounding. This beauty offers a reprieve from the hectic pace of modern life, grounding you in the joys of the world around you. 5. Know when you have enough. In an age of endless aspiration, recognizing when you have enough is a form of wisdom. This realization fosters contentment and wards off the relentless dissatisfaction fueled by constant wanting. 6. Have a hobby. Engaging in hobbies, especially physical ones like bricklaying or tree chopping, provides a meditative break from the demands of daily tasks. These activities are not just diversions, but vital practices for mental health and clarity. 7. Take care of your body. Physical wellness is inextricably linked to mental and emotional health. Adequate sleep and exercise aren't just good for the body. They enhance cognitive function and emotional resilience, bolstering your ability to remain poised in turbulent times. By weaving these principles into your life, you gift yourself not just with achievements, but with a profound inner peace that enhances every aspect of your existence. In stillness, there lies the true essence of living fully. Embrace these practices daily and watch as tranquility and clarity become hallmarks of your life, guiding you to not just success, but to a genuinely fulfilled existence. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.